want to welcome you, family. It's always good to have family to see you again. Seems like it's been so long since we saw you at the last meeting. Just want to welcome you to Kingdom Alliance. Thank you for coming. I have the pleasure of introducing somebody that's dear to my heart. I met this lady back in 1984. And I was on the docks. And we met in Dillingham, Alaska. And I'll just have to say, ever since that first day that I met this lady, I have never been the same. And throughout the years of walking with my wife, Eleanor, it's amazing what God has done in walking together and walking with the Lord. We've had some really high times, and then we've had some times that weren't so high. But you know what? Through it all, God has brought us through to his good place. And right now, I just have to say that this is a sweet place that we dwell in right now. And so I just want to welcome my wife, Eleanor, to come up and bring forth the word.
Thank you. Love, I thank you so much for believing in me and for trusting me and for being the man that you are, being a secure husband in allowing me to be who God has created me to be. And I know that I couldn't have been who I am today really without you. So I truly honor you as my husband and as the head of my household. Amen. So welcome, each and every one of you. Thank you so much, worship team. God bless you. Hallelujah. The Lord, he is good. The Lord God, he alone is God. And we worship him tonight. It's so good to see you tonight, Tony. It's so good to see Ron and his lovely wife. Thank you so much for coming. And I know we have some visitors in the back. Thank you so much for coming. We know that this might be different, but we're not patterning ourselves after a regular, normal church service. We're endeavoring to follow Holy Spirit the best way we know how. Welcome, my friend Jennifer, and all of you. I just really honor also Lee and Peggy Bergstrom. They have been so kind to helping us with some of our guests that come up from the lower 48. And those of you who drive in from the valley, thank you. That's a real commitment. And to my Yupik family. Amen. And we honor always Mrs. Panipchuk. She is an elder in the kingdom of God, not just in church, but in the kingdom of God. Amen. We really treasure each and every one of you for your commitment, not just to Kingdom Alliance, but to the Lord. You know, he is so worthy to be praised. And so as I begin to prepare for this message, I just want to honor the prophets of the house, not just of the house, but of the state. I want to honor you, Prophet Ron and Kit, right? Thank you so much for coming. And if the Lord gives you anything, please know that you're welcome to share the word of the Lord.
There's two kinds of words. There's a preceding word, P-R-E, and there's a proceeding word, P-R-O. The definition of a preceding word is one that comes before in time, in place, in authority. A proceeding word is a word that moves us along, that leads us. I believe by the Spirit that the preceding word has been spoken. That what you see here today is part of a proceeding word. That the preceding word only comes from the throne. Only comes from the heart of God. And it's those hearts, those ears, which are dedicated to Him, which are turned toward Him, that give the proceeding word.
Thank you so much. Recently, I want to share just a couple dreams. I woke up in my bedroom at about 5 a.m. and I woke up actually hearing the door swing wide open, and I sat straight up in bed. And as I woke up, I began to pray and ask the Lord what He was saying. And He led me to Revelations 4. And I'll find that real quickly here. I want to read that scripture to you. Revelations 4 says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard addressing me, like the calling of a war trumpet, said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place in the future.'" And so I begin to ask the Lord what He was saying in this. And He said, "For right now, I want you to focus in on coming up here rather than what must take place in the future." And so He did show me, I believe, a couple things concerning our nation and Alaska. But for right now, I just felt Him just to say, "Just wait on me. Allow your spirit man to be taken up into the heavenly places." And then a couple days later, I heard my husband calling me by my name. And he doesn't usually call me by my name. He usually calls me darling. And so when I heard him call my name, "Eleanor," and I sat straight up in bed and said, "Yes?" And he was not in the house. And I begin to read in the book of Samuel about the Lord calling Samuel. And so I believe the Lord is calling us up into high places and calling us by name with Him. And then as I begin to pray with my sister Dahlia, she said she had a dream about us. And I would like for her to share just the gist of the dream that she had concerning this, because it all ties together. How many knows that God sends dreams? He sends visions. He gives gifts unto men. And we know many of us are taught about that already. So I'll have my sister to share the dream that she had.
This week I had a dream. I was in a building, and the room that I was sleeping in, I look out the window to my right and looked up. There were mountains, and it was trickling water, and it started flowing down heavily. And I said, I need to get out of here. I need to go up on higher ground. And it was in the winter time, and I went down a hall, and I saw people sleeping, and I'm like, what are they doing sleeping? They need to get up. We need to go up on higher ground. And I found snow pants, put it on, and I ran out, and I saw Robert and Eleanor up on higher ground, and Robert yelled, Eleanor, and I was so glad I found them.
So I believe that the Lord is calling us up into high places, and he's calling us by name. Amen. And so as I begin to prepare for this message, the Lord reminded me of the Hebrew calendar, this year being 5778. It's the year of the sword, the crown, angels, open doors, and new beginnings. The Lord is simply looking for a yes from our hearts. Amen. And as I begin to wait on him, he gave me a word for me to share tonight. And so I went ahead and wrote it down. He says, I am awakening my church, my ecclesia, and I am causing her to arise and function in a new way. There is a shift in the mindset of my leaders that I'm renewing concerning the local mentality into a kingdom mindset, into a kingdom paradigm. I am upgrading a new understanding of how my leaders and my body is to function in this place you have not been before. In order for you to come into this new place of influence and power, I'm also revealing areas of hypocrisy and religious mindsets which has caused a Laodicean posture that has stagnated some from moving forward in me. But I have heard the cry of my people for the change, so I am releasing my change agent angel to help you to shift into the new kingdom mindset. I'm also releasing fresh fire upon you that you might fulfill the great commission on the earth. For there is a new wave of my glory. There is my wisdom and my understanding that will sustain this new move of heaven and earth that is coming together. So I say, arise, arise, Robert, arise, Dahlia, arise, Nancy, arise, Doug, arise, Tony, arise, put your name on there, and come into unity and advance with maturity and simply say yes to me. So the Lord is calling us by name to arise and to take our rightful place in the kingdom of God. For he has a purpose and a destiny for each and every one of us and for us collectively as the ecclesia of the Church of Alaska to come in and to take our place in the kingdom. The enemy does not have to rule and reign in Alaska. We are called to rule and reign in this place that he has set us and established us. For greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. This is our land. He placed us here. Each and every one of us. And we are a kingdom church. We are coming together arm in arm, shoulder to shoulder, heart to heart, spirit to spirit. And he's calling us up into a maturity. He's calling us to take our rightful place, to know who we are in him, and not to stay as babes and as infants, but as mature sons and daughters in the kingdom of God. Amen. So in this new place that the Lord is shifting us into, he's calling the apostles and the prophets to work together. Amen. We have had seasons in the past where we'd start and then we'd end up back in the old cycle again. We'd start and then we'd end up back in the rut again. But everything within me says, I am moving forward. We are moving forward. And we've got to get that within our spirit man, that nothing's going to hold me back. No way, Jose. I didn't get saved to sit in a pew and be quiet. Amen. God didn't get me out of the village, a nobody from nowhere, and set me in Anchorage just to sit here quietly. No. Neither are you. You are gifted. You are qualified. Amen. So something on the inside, I believe God is causing that to rise up on the inside. I'm not here to spoon feed you. God is wanting to give us the meat of the word. Thank you, Lord. So the book of Esther, he led me to the book of Esther. He says that there is a new kingdom order, if you will, that's arising on the land. And we don't dishonor the old order. You won't find me doing that. Whenever God starts a ministry, he doesn't want us to kick the old one. He doesn't want us to dishonor those who have gone before us, no matter how painful it was. Amen. I mean, believe you me, I can tell you stories. And I believe we all can. We all have a story. But the Lord is giving us a choice to forgive and move on. Amen. So that way we don't end up going over and over and over and over. Hear the same. It's all stories. I don't take it lightly that we've all been hurt by church. Amen. Who hasn't been? But God is wanting us to shift forward with a new mindset, with a forgiveness, with his new garments on. Because we're called to take this land. Amen. And together, I can't go without you, and you can't go without me. We can choose to, but I don't want to. You? No. He's called us as a great and mighty army to take the land with a family heart. Amen? Thank you, Lord. I just had to do a little bit of preaching before. I'm not much of a teacher, but we'll try. Okay, so he's calling a new order. And the picture of Esther and Judges is what he gave me out of the Old Testament. And the New Testament is Ephesians 4:11 through 13. From the book of Esther, and I won't go into a whole lot of scriptures. I'm not that kind of a preacher, but I will give you some. The picture that he gave me was the old order of Vashti is moving out. The old order of Vashti was stubborn. It was all about self. It was all about a one-man show. It was selfish, stiff-necked, angry. The king beckoned her, and she thought, I have my own little camp going on in here. I don't need to go see. I don't need to go. So she clearly had anger and an attitude, and I've been there, done that, and thank God for his grace and his mercy. But the Lord calls again, And he's calling us by name again. So we know what happened there. We know that the Lord began to set in a new order. And so I want to touch on three main areas that we're going to look at in the book of Esther that's going to help us to shift. That's going to help us individually to shift, and that's going to help us corporately as the ecclesia, as the church, as the government of Alaska to shift. Okay? So the first three chapters in the book of Esther, we will see that, and we know this very well. A lot of us are familiar with the book of Esther. And so we know that a call goes out for all the virgins and all the beautiful women in the land to be trained. And here comes Hadassah. And she was more beautiful and more fair and highly favored by the king. So her looks got her somewhere. Amen. Yes, indeed. Her looks got her somewhere. And so she goes into 12 months of intense training for her governmental anointing. So she goes in and she's perfumed up and she's bathed and she's got all the oils and all the perfume and all the makeup and I mean, what lady would not want that kind of a treatment? And so she didn't stay there. So she would go and she would be paraded around in front of the king. And of course, she was the one that was chosen. But that was only the beginning of being chosen. Many are called, few are chosen. But a lot of times we get stuck on either being called or being chosen. It's not enough just to be chosen. That is only the beginning. Then the real war starts. Amen. So she goes through 12 months of intense training for her governmental anointing to be put on her. And so what I like about this picture concerning Hadassah, Esther, is that God is truly no respecter of persons. If God could choose someone like Esther, he can truly choose any one of us sitting here. And like I said, I came, and some of you here, there's many new people here tonight. You don't know who I am, so I'll just tell you a little bit about who I am and where I come from. I was born and raised in a small Eskimo village where Christians were not allowed in my village. Missionaries were not allowed there. And before our mother passed, when I was 18 and Dahlia was 16 or 17 at the time, our mother got saved. She was saved by a Moravian pastor. And then she began to share visions that she had of me ministering. And I had no clue what that meant. I didn't know, you know, she just began to share visions of me traveling around the world and that God would use my mouth for his glory. And so I just simply said yes. And then of course, when I moved to the city and my sister was living in Dillingham at the time, the Lord began to wake. He began to give me a dream and cause me to wake up in the middle of the night and call her by name. And so I woke up in the middle of the night calling her name out. And I'm here in Anchorage and she's hundreds of miles away in Dillingham. And she woke up hearing me call her name in the middle of the night. And so the Lord is so supernatural that he wants to do that for each and every one of you. He wants you to know that he is calling you by your name tonight. He's calling your children, your wives, your family, your loved ones out by name tonight. and he can do it however he wants to, because he is God. So let's just let him be God. So he called, I woke up in the middle of the night and I'm calling her, Dahlia, it's time to wake up. God is calling you to himself. She calls me on the phone and said, I heard you calling my name in the middle of the night. I said, yes, I woke up calling your name in the middle of the night. And not only that, I had a dream about you. And the dream that I had about you was your apartment was flooded with sewer. And she says, oh my gosh, my apartment is flooded with sewer. How do I get what you have? So I led her to the Lord, amen, over the phone, prophesied to her, and here she is. And the Lord gives her dreams, and he's going to keep using you, Dahlia. He's going to keep using you and your gifts. And many of us have been holding back. And it's no more time to hold back, people. It's no more time to hold back. Hallelujah. He's calling you by name tonight. Thank you, Lord. So the Lord is no respecter of persons. He chose somebody like Esther. And so the second part of these chapters, let's read chapter 4 of Esther real quick. Chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. After she gets chosen, she's getting all perfumed up and she's getting herself ready to go before the king. And you know, when the Lord chooses us, and he puts his finger on us, he starts doing a work upon us. He starts perfuming us. You know, when we first come to the Lord, I don't know about you, but when I first came to the Lord, all I wanted to do was be in his presence. Because he saved me, a nobody from nowhere. When the enemy tried to take my mind and make me go crazy, I jump out in front of vehicles trying to kill myself and so many more other things other than that. I just wanted to stay in his presence and just let him just put his sweet fragrance upon me. And so early on, it was like I just, and not only that, people saw something different in me. And the Lord wants to do that afresh and anew upon us, I believe. We lose the fragrance of the Lord. We can lose the fragrance of the Lord when we don't spend that time with him, just in his sweet presence. Amen. So, Esther, chapter 4, verse 13. Then Mordecai told them to return this answer to Esther, because we know that there was a plot against the Jews, and she was up in the palace, up there and getting fed, getting perfumed up. She was getting a little comfortable being in the palace. Oh, it's so nice in here. Oh my gosh, I'm getting so taken care of. Oh, this is great. This is the best thing since fried bread. I mean, who wants to leave this place, right? And so the Lord is about to shift some things here. He doesn't want us just to stay comfortable in our homes. He doesn't want us just to stay comfortable with what we're used to doing. So there is a time to shift. And so Mordecai told them to return this answer to Esther. And you know, Mordecai, we know that was Esther's uncle. And so I liken him unto an apostle to the prophet Esther. And he got her straightened out. He says, do not flatter yourself that you shall escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. Don't think you're going to be safe up in there, Esther. You think you're going to be safe in the palace? You think you're going to escape because there is a plot to kill all of us. And don't you start getting so comfortable to where you're just going to hide out. And so this is where I really see the apostolic anointing coming in through Mordecai. He says, and we know this scripture very well. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance shall arise for the Jews from elsewhere. If we don't take up our calling, and if we don't allow the Lord to keep shifting us and moving us, he's going to move on someone else. So this is our time. Say, this is my time. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows, he's asking her, who knows but that you have come into the kingdom for such a time as this and for this very occasion. This was the time of testing for Esther. And many of us, when it's our time to shift, we can either choose to remain silent and comfortable and not allow the Lord to keep dealing with us, or we can say yes. And when we keep saying yes, it costs us. It may cost us our reputation. It may cost us our comfort. It may cost us a few bucks. It may cost us to come out of our comfort zones. It may cost us, it's going to cost us something to choose to keep shifting and following the Lord. So this was her decision time. I remember when we were getting ready to, when the Lord had called us out of a certain church, and the Lord asked me, he said, are you willing to lose your job and your comfort zone and your reputation to follow after me? And I thought, uh-oh. Being a Christian and being called and chosen isn't just fry bread and muktuk and cupcakes. Trying to cover all the bases here. And what else? Figs. Yeah. It will cost us something to keep shifting. And so that was her decision time, if she was going to remain in the palace and be comfortable, or to take her place and to ponder, why am I here? What am I called to do? Who am I called to be? Am I willing to risk it all to follow him, to be who he's created me to be? Yes, sometimes you might get misunderstood. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. But if it's for the Lord's reasons, it's the good thing. If it's for our flesh, if our flesh caused it, that's another thing. Because sometimes our flesh and our soul will cause fire to come upon us. You know, when God's trying to deal with something, and if we don't let him kill us, and we don't allow ourselves to die, then our flesh can get in the way. So let's not put everything on the devil. Let's allow the Lord to do his good work within us. Amen. Amen. And so all of this came to a culmination of time. It's like the culmination of time came right before Esther. And sometimes it's easy, you know, to get comfortable in our place, get comfortable just with our own kind of people, with our own kind of ministry, with our own kind of cultures. But what are we going to do when it's time to shift? And so Apostle Mordecai helped her to shift. So every single one of us need each other. We need each other's giftings. My husband has helped me to shift. I remember when there was a time when the Lord released the dance to me, And I was weeping and wailing on the floor and just calling out to him. And I thought, oh gosh, that's the end of our lives. There's no other church than the one we've been to. God has his way. And then the Lord showed me that he was going to give the dance to me. And I won't go into all of that. But the Lord said he wanted me to dance for his glory. And it was quite a vision. It was quite a time in the Lord. And so at that time, Robert said, you know, and I started getting invitations, you know. And the Lord showed me he was going to raise the dance up in me. And then the preach and the prophetic would come. And then other things. And I won't go into all of that. But it was hard for me to get out of that mindset I was in. It's like, oh, I'm too scared. Gee, I can't talk. Gee, who am I? You know, I mean, you know, all of that. It was just like, I didn't need the devil and, you know, to get after me. My own self was, I had to fight my own mind. And so Robert said, Eleanor, it's your time to go. You need to go. And so I remember my first trip out of Anchorage on a ministry trip to Kenai, Alaska. That was really hard for me. Man, and I drove down there, and I mean, it was just like, oh my gosh. I won't tell you. It was bad. It was so bad. I thought, man, I was so used to just being around Native people. I'm just going to be, you know what? I just got to be real and honest with you. I was so used to about being around my Native people that I thought, man, I'm driving down with two white ladies. How am I going to, how is this going to work? And then I had to sleep next to one of them on the same bed. I thought, Lord, you are too much. Yeah, Sharon, I wish she was here. She would have really loved it. But anyway, God used him to say, Eleanor, you get out there. This is your time. You've got to go. So I had to keep letting the Lord shift me out of my comfort zones over and over and over again. But in the midst of it, we cannot lose who God has created us to be. You know, and the Lord spoke to me one time and said, Eleanor, I will take you as high and as far as you want to go. But don't ever forget where you came from. Don't ever forget that you grew up not knowing about me. Don't ever forget that you grew up without furniture, without running water, without electricity. Don't ever forget your beginnings. And so with Esther, he's shifting her, and it's hard, and she's got to go put her head on the chopping block. I've had to do that. I mean, it's easy, you know, sometimes when you're, you know, you're not the one ministering and you go, go and obey the Lord, go and obey the Lord. But when it's you, it's a different story. I mean, oh my gosh. So Apostle Mordecai helped her to shift, and he reminded her of her identity, of her calling and her purpose. And he gave her a choice. So she yielded. She had the choice. She yielded, and she had to die to herself. And then it was after that that they started learning how to flow together as apostle and prophet. And you will see that in chapter 4, verse 17. Now, after Mordecai told her what she needed to do, or gave her a choice, and she obeyed. So 17, it says, so Mordecai now went away and did all that Esther had commanded him. Now they were working together as apostle and prophet, but they had to learn. They had to die to themselves. And so in the next three chapters after that, Mordecai and Esther, they not only learned how to work together, but their vision and their purpose in saving the Jews and saving the nation came to full fruition. And there was something that was almost lost, but it was restored. And so this is the time as well that God is restoring what was lost, and it was the time for them to become wise stewards of their lands. It was the time for them to change laws even. They made declarations and decrees on changing the laws. And as we rise up and become who God has created us to be, there is no telling what we can do. And what our children and our children's children can do. It's time for someone from Alaska to rise up and to fully possess our inheritance. To fully believe who God has called us to be. And to start changing the laws. We can do that. We don't know how much we have in us. But it takes one obedience at a time. One shift at a time. Working together. Flowing together. It's not easy to flow together. Sparks fly sometimes. Sparks fly sometimes. Not everybody's as anointed as you. Amen. There's anointing in each and every one of us. And I love it. I love how God uses you. I love how you let the Lord use you. Let's keep that up. And so, this is our time. This is Alaska's time to claim our inheritance. And even out of Judges, the Lord was also giving me a picture, and he gave me a dream last summer about birthing a child. And I was like, oh, I know that ain't happening in the natural. But in the spiritual. And the Lord gave me the name, Deborah. He said he is birthing Deborahs in Alaska. He is birthing Deborahs in the kingdom of God. And then he led me to Judges 4. There's something about the number 4 tonight. Revelations 4, Judges 4. Let's look at, well, we won't go into that. But out of Judges 4, we see Deborah sitting under the palm tree up on a mountain. She was a prophetess who spent time with God up on the mountain. And we heard that dream tonight. The Lord is calling us up into his high places, sitting under the palm tree, sitting under praises and worshiping the Lord. And she gets a word of the Lord, and she goes to Barak. She goes to an apostle because she couldn't do this on her own. And Barak, the apostle, receives the word of the Lord, but even they didn't do it together alone. Sometimes we're not going to get credit for what we do. So stop looking for credit. Sometimes we may never get the credit. You know who got the credit out of Judges? It was an intercessor. Thank God for the intercessors. Thank God for the watchmen. Thank God for the seers of this state. We want to bless them. Would the intercessors and watchmen and seers please stand up? We just want to We just want to say we value you. I'm standing. We want to say we value you. They do a lot of work in the spirit realm behind the scenes. And it was Jael who took out the king of Caesarea. I mean, she just took him right out. She plowed a nail between his head. Whew. There's no wimps in the kingdom of God. And we know it's not against flesh and blood. We know that in the spirit realm. But it's with wisdom, not with presumption. It's with, and she had wisdom because she told him, come on into my tent. And he went in and she gave him some nice warm milk. Put him right out. Put him right to sleep. And got that nail and drove it between his head. So somebody else may get the credit for all the work you do. There are many people who have done many things over the years. But this is our time, Alaska. This is the time where the apostles and the prophets and intercessors will come together and work together, arm in arm, shoulder to shoulder, breath to breath. And out of Ephesians 4:11 through 13, and he gave some to be. And he gave some to be. Apostles and prophets, evangelists. God is refiring you. Tony, you are an evangelist. God is refiring you to go out. For the calling is still there. The calling is there. And the Lord is winnowing that flame within you. There is a preach still locked up within you that he is unlocking. He says, it's time to come out of the cave. Whoa. You've been in the cave long enough. The Lord is drawing you out by his Spirit. Yes, he is. He's going to begin to awaken your ear morning by morning. And he's going to cause that message within you to come into full fruition and birth it. And at the right time, at the appointed time, you will give forth that message. Amen. He didn't move you to Anchorage by mistake. You're not here by happenstance or mistake. He is, you are here, you and your family are here for a greater reason than the reason that you came in for. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Tony, when I was right over here when we were worshiping, I just looked back at you. I didn't even know you were there, but I saw you, and it's like you had these glasses that were binoculars because they were right on your head. They were just binoculars. And then it's like I saw you looking down and I saw you looking at a Bible. And I heard the Lord say, and this gospel of the kingdom must be preached. And what I heard him say is that he's going to give you revelations of what his kingdom means that you've never understood in times past. New revelation, new prophetic revelation of the gospel of the kingdom. And then it's like when I was looking at you, I saw this eight ball shifter. You know, the old trucks that we put the eight ball shifters on? I saw a hand grab a hold of it like this and slam it down good and hard backwards, which means shifting to a higher gear. And then it's like I saw a door opening in front of you, and it's like the wheels began to spin and you shot right through the door. And exactly what Eleanor was speaking about today is exactly what I saw, is that he's getting you ready and he's shifting you into a new season.
I actually want to speak this over you, Robert. The Lord gave me this word for you last couple weeks ago, and it goes right along with Eleanor, what she spoke tonight. But when I was praying for you, I saw you The Lord had showed me in a dream, but I was praying for you also, and he showed me that you were guarding mantles, that you had many mantles that God had entrusted you with, but you were going to be passing them out when you saw people. And as Eleanor was talking about Mordecai, it's the apostolic in you that you will be calling people out, and he's going to give you names. All of a sudden, you're going to hear people's names, and you're going to go, okay, that's them, that's for them. And you're going to call them into position, and it's going to be up to them to grab it. But he's going to do this more and more. I saw him just laying it on your heart more and more, different people's names, and just like you did with Tony over there, it's like a mantle per se, but I don't understand it all, but he gave me the word, the terminology of prophetic director. Whatever, I don't know, understand that completely, but it was like you were overseeing some of the prophetic in that. And so I just want to speak that over you tonight. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, right now for the apostolic calling on Robert. I thank you, Father, that you've called him for this time and this season, Lord. And there are many people that are waiting to hear what you have had him, you will have him speak over them. And so, God, I pray for the tuning of his ears, Lord, to be in alignment, the tuning of the ears of his heart to be in alignment with yours, Lord, and those mantles that I saw him overseeing and guarding, it was like you were even guarding them, Father, that you would show him, Father, you would protect his heart in the midst of this. I thank you, Father, right now, in Jesus' name.
Father, I receive that. I receive the word of the Lord. Tonight, the prophetic and the visions have been just activated. And so, do you mind if I share a few more? Ma'am, I've never seen you before, but when I was worshiping the Lord, it's like when I look back on you, it's like I saw you walking into your house. And when you walked into your house, it's like the lights came on really bright, and you were looking at in the lights, and it's like I saw you walking over to the light switch, and you were trying to flip the lights off, and it wouldn't go off. And what I heard the Lord saying is that he is turning on his light, even within your household. And he says that it's like I heard him saying that you came in to see something, but he says that he's going to show you something. And he says that he's going to meet with you in ways that you never even thought that he would meet with you in. He says that you've understood God in one way, but you're going to understand him as somebody who would be like a friend. And he's going to show you things in his word, and he's going to begin to expound. And even as he does that, he says that there is a prophetic mantle that he's placed upon you that he's tapping into. Because he's going to begin to speak to you about things that he wants you to do. And as you listen to his voice and as you obey him to go here and go there, he's going to begin to speak to you, but he'll also begin to speak to you for other people. And you are going to share the love of the Lord that he has given to you. And so even at times when you feel like the presence is so bright where you want to dim it down, he says it's for this time that he's called to share his light with you. Jesus. You know, when I saw you back here, what I saw is it's like you were speaking to your children, speaking to young people, speaking to family members. And then it's like what I saw is that you were like preaching the word to them just within your own home. But as you were sitting around the table and sharing what God has spoken to you, it's like I saw the table expound. The table was getting larger, and people were asking you to come and share the word of the Lord with them. And as you begin to share, you begin to share what it says in the word in the Bible. But it's like I saw a light switch come on, and you begin to release revelation and prophetic understanding. God is going to make himself known to you in ways that you hadn't dreamed of before. And he's called you his son. He has a sonship calling upon your life as one that stands before him in a mature place. He says that he's called you son to be his mature one, to share his word and his life, and to release his life to generations and generations.
And you will have angelic visitations as well. There are messenger angels that he will send to you. And you will share them. You will share them sometime. And I just really see that the Lord, there are some here who know of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he's going to be encountering you in a very real way. And I just really sense that about you, Mama, in the back with the flower in your hair. Yeah. Yeah, that there is a new joy of the Lord that he's bringing you into. You've known him in one way, and he's going to be encountering you in a real and in a real fresh way. There's going to be a real fresh visitation of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to you. And with that will come a greater love, a greater peace, a greater joy, and a new freedom that you will encounter with him and his Holy Spirit. I just see joy coming to your house, coming to your home. Yes, you have done a very good job in raising your son. And he is a fine young man, a young man of God. But I just see glory, 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 joy, 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 a new freedom coming to you that you've tasted of, but it's coming in abundance. Amen. And Jennifer, your daughter, there is such a sweetheart that she has that for a young lady, she contains a wisdom beyond her years. There's a real heart for down and outers. There's a real heart for those who are less than. And it's like she can almost like identify with them for some reason. But God has put that within your heart. There's a creativity that you have that the Lord will use to help the homeless, to help those who don't have what you have, because you are one who have counted your blessings. And the Lord is just like, there is just a part of you that at times I believe the Lord will put his finger on that compassionate part of you, and he will grow that vision and that creativity that will not just feed the hungry, but help the hungry to feed themselves. Not just to give a fish, but you will teach them how to become fishermen. Does that make sense? Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And Miss Margie, there is a prosperity coming to you that it won't be just a paycheck to paycheck. You've known what it's like to be abased, but now you will know what it's like to abound. Amen. Even where Paul talks about that in Philippians 4, I believe, 11 through 13, he says, I know how to be abased, and I also know how to be abound, but in all of it, I have learned to be content, and you have learned to be content with where you're at. But the Lord says, this is your abounding season. Amen. Not only naturally, but spiritually. And yes, you will dance for the Lord too, not just your daughter. You guys will dance together. Bonisha, you have a breaker anointing that has still yet to come forth. And the tears that you have sown in private, the Lord says that he's going to honor you with joy. For you too will know what it's like to abound. And you won't have to cry for what has been, but you will cry with tears of joy. Amen. And you will, even when you come into the freedom of the Lord and express yourself, it will not only set you free, but your family and others free. And there will be a breaking forth even corporately. Amen. Amen. For there is an expression coming from the young people. And we want to make room for the young people. I'm here to declare and to decree that the young people have room here. So you are welcome here to express yourself in the Lord. Amen.
As Eleanor was speaking, I heard the Lord say, it's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And I was waiting because I thought there was more. And as she spoke, he said, even my son had the anointing of the spirit, but he said, he partnered his will. And he reminded me that in the garden, of Gethsemane, when Jesus was praying about the crucifixion and saying, Lord, I don't want to take this cup. But when the Lord made it clear to him that that was what he wanted, he partnered his will with the Spirit, and it was that marriage of the will of Jesus and the Spirit that carried out the good work. And so I felt like what the Lord was saying was, yes, it's by the Spirit, but it's also we partner our will with him just like Jesus did.
I can tell you this, is that there's been many words that have been prophesied over my wife and I. Even before we were saved, the Lord was prophesying over us. We went to church. We went into this building. And somebody prophesied over us, and we weren't even saved. I don't even think we were married at that time. But, you know, we could have said, that's a nice word. And so, oh, that was nice of that person to say. That's just so nice. But there is an activation that we have to do. There's a place in our heart where we have to say, yes, Lord. Yes, I desire that for my life. I desire you in my life. And without us doing that, you know, who knows where we would be. Brother Ron, Mr. Ron, I keep seeing this bottle that's sitting on the shelf. It's got a cork in the top. And it's a wine bottle. And it's like I'm seeing a hand that's taken the bottle off of the shelf. And it's got like dust on there and just rubbing that bottle and cleaning that bottle off. And then it's like I see him unscrewing the cork and popping it off. And what I heard the Lord say is that even though, and I'm not sure where you've been at or anything, I don't really know your history, but I'll say this, is that I heard the Lord saying that even though it seems like there was a place and a season where you sat on the shelf, he says there's a shifting that he's doing in opening you up for a new season. He says that he is causing you to shift into a season of now. And he says he's opening up, not only opening you up to a new level in the prophetic, but new revelations of him and what he has for you and what he has for you to share in the kingdom. And, you know, I don't know if you preach or teach or anything like that, but I feel like that is a part of the season that he's stepping you into, is to teach and to teach possibly on the prophetic. Whatever he puts in your heart, he's going to open up that door for you. Anything else?
Just real quickly, that he's pouring in the new wine in your new wineskins. And it's gonna be not like it was before, but it's gonna be soft and supple and it's gonna be different. And I just see the Lord doing a whole new thing in the both of, not just in you, but even in your wife. I see him doing a whole new ministry launching for you. There's a healing period that you've gone through, and the Lord says that he's going to use everything that you've gone through into a new launching time for this time that we need. And you're going to be really teaching and imparting things, especially in the prophetic realm, that the Lord has been showing you in secret. He's going to cause you to bring that out and to help the new eagles fly. Amen.
This goes along with that. When you stood up and came up and spoke about the proceeding word, as you were speaking that word, this last half to year to a year, I've been crying out to God to be fed again. And when you look at Revelation 10, the end of that chapter, when the angel comes and the old book is open, and John is told to eat it. And I felt like when you began to speak, I felt myself saying in my spirit, I can eat this. This is good food for me. And so I want to encourage you to step out in that great depth in you and begin to feed us. Some of us are desperate to be fed again. And so I bless you and thank you for coming up and sharing that one word.
Doug, I heard the Lord say, because you said yes to him, that he's saying yes to you. And so there's some things that he wants you to ask him. And he's going to say yes. But I don't know what those things are, but there are some things that he wants for you to ask him. And he's saying yes to you. And it has to do with the season that you're entering into. A new season that you're entering into. You know, I really appreciate the message that my wife had spoke. One of the things that she said is that I didn't get saved just to come and sit in the pew. And that's all I ever wanted to do. I still kind of would rather be sitting in the pew. But, you know, the Lord, he doesn't allow that. You know, he didn't allow that with me. I'll just put it that way. We've went through some things. And I thank God that his mercy and his grace has been upon us to bring us to a place like this. Chuck Pierce, he was with us in August, and he prophesied over Alaska. And he says, rise up and become and occupy. He said, grab a hold of your full identity. He said, Alaska has even, he says, the apostolic and prophetic arising is arising in the land of Alaska. Alaska was even known as one of the forerunners and pioneering apostolic movements in this nation. And yet, even though it had got stalled out in one form, we are now in a 10-year period where the apostolic comes alive. Alaska will come alive. The things that God showed you in the last 20 to 30 years will start to manifest now in a new way. And he says, a new leadership from the north to the south, the east to the west is rising up and aligning for the future. A new corporate movement, that's us, a corporate movement is in the land with faith to advance. That corporate movement is us. And I can feel the shift inside of me. We've been going along and having these meetings since 2014, and they've went in a certain mode, highly prophetic and things like that, and it's been one way, but we're shifting into another season, which is more of an apostolic leadership training ground that we're stepping into. And so he gave us the ministry so that we could train up people and that there would be a platform for others to come and share. But we're entering into a season where we're going to share more. We're going to share things that God has birthed about the kingdom of God and the season that we're in Alaska. So we're going to continue to do that. Bill Pegran is going to be with us tomorrow. He hasn't been feeling so good, so I hope he'll be here. We've scheduled for him to share with us. If he isn't, God is, I was going to share the pulpit with him and share also, but I'm ready to share some of the things that God has shown me. And so I just want to encourage you all, come out, be with us. It'll be tomorrow at 6 p.m., come and join us. Invite somebody to come with you. Be careful out there with the ice and things like that. In these meetings, we don't take up offerings per se. It's just as you feel led of the Lord to come and give. But we do have our worship team, our our other sound people and that we always want to bless and honor our ministers. So if you would like to give while you're here tonight, we'll just leave these baskets open. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord. We thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit that's been here. We receive that word that has come to change us and shift us into the place that you want us to be. God, I thank you for each one here, Lord. I just ask, God, that you would give your angels charge over us for protection. Lord, even out in the parking lots where it's so slippery, Lord, I just ask, Lord, that you would make our feet sure so no one would slip. Thank you, God, for protection in the cars as we go home, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you, God, for your grace and your peace over our households as we go out and we begin to rest tonight. I thank you, God, for your sweet, sweet sleep. God, I thank you for that now. Lord, we just lift up Mary. Lord, she fell down and she had broken two of her arms, Lord. God, our love, our hearts just go out to her, Father. And Lord, we just thank you, God, for your grace to be upon her, that she would feel your presence in her house, Father. And Lord, I thank you, Lord God, that you will heal her quickly, Lord. Those bones, Father, and just bring her back to us quickly. We just thank you for that now. In Jesus' name, amen.